Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister, and each week I'm joined by Graham Nichols and Mark Ventham, both pastors of Christ Church, Haywards Heath. All of us get angry at times. Is it ever justified? Is letting off steam a good enough excuse? How do we think spiritually about what is going on physiologically? That's the topic of discussion in today's episode of Ordinary, so let's jump straight in and I'll catch you on the other side.
My name is Graham Nichols.
And I'm Mark Bentham.
And I'm Josh Bannister, and you're listening to Ordinary. In this week's episode, we're talking about anger. When was the last time you got angry, Graham?
Actually,
one or two trivial things.
In the week, I think, and I don't know whether you'd call this righteous anger or not, we were having a discussion in community group about the new relationships and sex education legislation coming through autumn 2020. So we were talking about that, and I think, I don't know whether angry is quite the right word, but I think a combination of frustration and anger with what the government was seeking to impose, but also I think probably some heat in the discussion, because with two or three other people, we were knocking backwards and forwards lots of ideas, contrary ideas, about what we should tell our children to do in schools in the light of this coming along. So there was differences of opinion. So I think there was some righteous anger, but they're probably embedded in there.
You were disagreeing with someone in the community group.
Absolutely.
And you were angry.
I think I was probably. Mm. But I think I was angry at the... And I wasn't flooding beyond belief, but it was getting a bit heated. So I was angry about what was happening in the society, but I was probably getting angry with the people who were disagreeing with me, actually, because they've got no right, have they, to disagree with me. So that was just a little example.
Yeah.
You two are looking like shocked. He needs to be thrown off.
No, I think it's just revealing that, obviously,
thrown off the bus.
Stage of life you're at where you haven't got kids at home. So
actually made me feel like my anger is much worse than that. That's what I was thinking. Because I got angry this morning when I was coming here to record the podcast, because the traffic was just getting on my nerves, and this Tesco's delivery driver had decided to park on the road and deliver his shopping, and I thought, that's not allowed.
No.
And I got quite angry, and there's no question whether that's righteous anger or not, I don't think. I think it's quite clear.
No.
So I don't know. What about you, Mark?
Well, do I ever get angry?
Yeah.
No. That's a lie. I think we all...
It's a stupid question. Of course we do.
You know, I get angry at my kids and I lose it wrongly. And then have to humble myself and go and apologise.
It's part of the human condition, isn't it? Is it unavoidable anger?
Well, that's a good question.
Mm.
I think...
You have to differentiate as well between... sorry, I know you were taking a breath there, but so I just jumped in. You have to differentiate between feelings, and which may be right or wrong, but also expressions. So there's a whole kind of... You know, anger is just a collective word for a lot of things.
Yes.
And then you have to differentiate between other feelings, even right or wrong. But then how you express them is also a big deal about anger management, you might say, how those are expressed. I'm sure Mark's going to talk about this more, but understanding the motivation and understanding the expression, they're two slightly different things.
Well, and I think at the basic look, Ephesians 4 suggests anger can be appropriate and right, but anger is usually tainted with sin.
Yeah.
And on one level, God gets angry, wrathful. If I'm made in his image, I will therefore, and at times, get angry. The problem is, I think my sinfulness means that I often get angry at the wrong things and for the wrong reasons, and not angry at the right things and the things that God gets angry at. And so I think in one sense that's where you're beginning to tease out what does it look like. And I think often the reason I get angry is I think it was really helpful. James 4, 1 and 2 talks about the desires. I get angry because I desire and I want stuff. And that's, I could want actual material stuff, and I don't get it, possessions. Often though is I want reputation or I want control. So if I am angry because I'm not in control of something, you're not doing what I want, you're not responding, the Tesco driver is in the way, you're in my way, how dare you, I'm angry at that. Yeah. Or my kids, why do I get angry at my kids? It's not because actually often I'm angry at their sin, a right anger, I'm angry because they're not doing what I want, or they're robbing me of my comfort, or they're inconveniencing me in some way, or they're not responding rightly, and I take that as a dig that you should do, because, hey, I am your father and you should do what I say when I say it. In other words, it often the anger spills out of those kind of areas, or you've affronted my reputation. You know, and who do you think I am? Do you not realize who I am? And you dare to cross me or speak in that way or oppose my thinking or my thoughts. And so I get angry about those kind of things. Now, there is another, there's a right sense of anger as well, isn't it? If, if you think about someone, a bloke finds out that his wife has been sleeping with, he is going to be angry. You get in his way, he's going to be angry. And one sense, there's a right anger there. There's a jealousy. There's a rightness about that kind
jealousy
of sense.
Jealousy in the good sense. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, jealousy in the good sense. So there's a rightness about that anger in that kind of context. Now, again, it could get tainted with sin, because actually what happens is piles in loads of other stuff that comes out of that. But at the heart, there could be a right sense of sin, a right sense of anger in that. The question then is, what do you do with that anger?
Right.
Yes, the expression of it, which can be sinful, even if the core of it is justified in one sense. The expression of it can still be sinful, even if it's completely sort of rational and reasonable to be angry about.
Yeah, so something. I mean, and often, isn't it, is anger is cognitive in the sense of it's at the of what I think and do, or think particularly. So you perceive something is wrong, you appraise it, which then comes out in the emotional. So I perceive that this person has affronted me, I appraise that as, actually, no, this has really upset me and offended me and really gone against who I am or what I want or what I crave or what I desire, and that emotion then comes out. Now, This is where people start thinking of emotion, and it can be internal or external, and people are angry in different ways. And so often we talk about the angry people as those who explode, just see everything, that's it, it's going to be. And what happens in those moments, they pour it all out. And some talk about, oh, well, this is a good thing, they're not bottling it up, and it's a really good thing to do, and hey, they let it out, and then they're all right. And you want to go, well, where do you justify that in the Bible? But then there's the other types who are internal, and they're as angry, but it's contained. They bottle it up. They're seething inside. And often that actually can be more dangerous, because you see, and then it does explode.
Yeah.
But actually both are wrong. And both are...
Yeah.
One's aggressive, one's passive-aggressive, but both are... aggressive.
Sometimes the second doesn't explode. Sometimes the second just eats away at the person, and they don't necessarily have the explosion, but they have loads of little kind of fires burning, and it saps their energy, in fact, and usefulness in serving Christ and joy in service and so on. So yeah.
So if those two things are the incorrect response to a feeling of anger, what is the right way to deal with that? And are you even saying, going so far as to say that perhaps it's not, the sin is not the initial feeling of anger rising up? Is there sin in that? Or is it just about the response and how I then deal with that? So when I drove towards that Tesco's driver and he was there and I felt that prod of that's annoying me, is that already putting a foot wrong, or is it just about how I then deal with that and where I go with that?
Good question.
Sounds like in that case, there was mostly unjustified anger.
Because, right, thanks.
Because because the person was probably behaving in an unjust way, but not outrageously. So I think there was there's a whole combination of what time you got up, how much time you allowed, you know, the reality of what Hayworthy's like and all those sort of things that you'd have to weigh up before you could say, I've been morally outraged by this Tesco driver who slightly got in my way.
Okay, so given that, though, how do you control what feels like it's not controllable? Do you know what I mean?
In terms of your feelings?
Yeah, so that I don't think I made a decision in that moment to get angry about it. It just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think then you what you have to ask the question is, why are you angry? So anger always reveals something. So the guys called the Gottmans do a lot of research on relationships. And one of the things they have is what they call like the anger iceberg. And so if you imagine an iceberg, right at the top is anger, the expression. But underneath, often with an iceberg, is much bigger. And I think anger is doing that. It's revealing something normally underneath. Now, not all anger is as a result of sin. It can be suffering.
I was suffering.
Yeah, no.
Well, but I love the fact that you're so open. Let's take it. See, yeah. Actually, why were you actually angry?
I was angry because I was going to be late for you two.
Right, yeah. But why were you late?
Because that Tesco driver was in my way.
But was it the Tesco driver, or had you left home late already?
Yeah, I was already rushing.
Yeah.
So why were you rushing?
Yeah, because I was late. Yeah.
So in one sense, the
for those of you who can't see, Josh is now in tears.
I'm just getting tissues out. We're now doing pastoral work, and everyone's going, I really don't want Mark as my pastor because he asked too many questions. But in one sense, it probably the anger wasn't actually at the Tesco driver. You're actually angry probably at yourself,
yeah.
Because actually, probably the truth be known, you left late,
yeah.
Because for whatever reason you got up late, or
yeah.
Breakfast was too long, or whatever it was that meant that you didn't have time to get to the that you needed to do,
yeah.
And you are then irritated, frustrated, annoyed, and what happens? Someone has now blocked you, which means you're even later, and you explode. So actually, the sin starts all the way back,
yeah,
way before that. And I think that's often true with lots of
not
anger.
Necessarily the sin, but the
sorry,
the set of causes that might cause your anger, sure. To be really not justified.
Yes, yeah,
yes,
that's fair.
But yeah. You were harsh, aren't you?
No,
This is in this context, Josh.
Yeah,
and obviously, we're just, you know, we're really kind of deciphering this thing.
Well, I think all we're trying to do is flesh out is that actually often in those little situations, see, I want to go, I'm justified or I'm angry and I'm right. But actually, the truth is, as soon as I actually stop to think about it, the real cause is not to do with that Tesco driver. It's the fact that actually I'm angry at myself because actually I have. Whatever reason,
it's much more complicated than that thing that then triggers it.
Well, yeah,
and of course, because sometimes I could get angry because actually I'm feeling rejected. So actually, what I'm craving is your approval, and you've not given that to me. But actually, you said something, and actually, I'm responding. It's a flight mode. I'm trying to. You've rejected me. You've hurt me, and I'm not going to allow that. You know. So it's not so much. That's more on the suffering side than a sin side. But actually, it might result in more sin. It's tainted by sin.
I think it's always. I think even in your case, you know, there is obviously some real moral outrage that drivers should respect other drivers and not park in the middle of the road that blocks the road. So there's a little bit of justification in that. And I think in most anger that we get in our families or with friends at church or friends at work, there's almost always a mixture, isn't there, of some justification, some insecurity, some. As you say, challenge to our comfort, to our control, to our self-image, or something's being challenged. So there's always stuff to find that's not helpful in it. There is sometimes stuff to at least understand that's kind of, this is the explanation for it, and it may be that it's slightly justified, particularly in family context, husband-wife context. There's sometimes stuff where we're angry, and actually in the moment, it seems completely unreasonable. But there's a whole pattern of things that have happened
that
are both wrong in our hearts, but also probably wrong behaviour in our spouse's hearts. So we need to unravel and say, yeah, actually my response was wrong. Here's where it's justified, but actually here's where I was unreasonable in how I was thinking.
But I think where we need to be careful with that is because actually at the end of the day, I'm often not angry at the unreasonable behavior of the sin.
Yeah.
The emotion has got so much, or I become tired or exhausted, or I'm overwhelmed or rejected. And what I do then is, now, which is why then saying that the iceberg stuff is beginning to reveal what is it I'm really craving and desire. And often, I think this is where, in one sense, can I ever be angry with a complete... with sin freeness, I'm not sure I can be, because my motives always mix. But should I be angry at certain things? Yeah, I think I should be. I think I should be angry at situations in our world. You know, I should be angry at the issue of abortion, whilst also showing compassion to those who are wrestling and struggling with these issues. But often what happens is I don't get angry at that. You know, I can watch suffering on telly. You know, I can watch the news and see thousands of people die, or a tsunami hits south, off in Africa. But I'm not angry by it. But actually, you know, the Tesco man fails to deliver the milk that I needed for that morning.
Tesco, he's done a lot wrong.
We love Tesco's, and there are other shop providers.
Not a sponsor, clearly.
Or the Sainsbury's, or the Ocado, or Morrison's, for those in other parts of the country. That's why it's such a complex issue. But often the anger, the emotion of anger, the outrage, is often not justified or a right expression. I think that's the problem.
The New Testament balance would be seeing anger as a sin. So although there is the issue of justified anger, and there's God's righteous anger, and there's our righteous anger at times, nearly always it's kind of listed as a problem.
Do not sin in your anger.
Sometimes it's just, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires, is another text. And other ones where anger, fits of rage are all sort of linked together as sets of vices. Mm. So in that case, they are using the anger in the sense of probably the outworking of it, more than any kind of righteous feeling. Is it worth just on the way talking about flooding, which I've found helpful? Maybe not.
Yeah. So I think that, so flooding is the kind of the technical term that what happens, just describing... Sorry, Josh, just not the table. Josh gets really angry with me.
I get so angry every time you do that.
Yeah. It is the emotion that when I get angry or when I get worked up, what happens is your brain floods with emotion, which actually means that you can't then rationally think or respond in a helpful way. And actually that's helpful, because actually when you begin to sense yourself flooding, that sense of you're just overwhelmed, at that point you're better off walking away. And this is where the kind of whole idea of counting to 10 is actually quite effective, because actually what it's allowing your body to do, the chemical, is to calm itself down and allow the flooding to lower itself in order that you can then engage again rationally.
Yeah.
So there is some kind of technical help stuff that you can do. You know, when you feel yourself, that sense where you kind of suddenly feel overwhelmed, to actually remove oneself from the situation, count to 10, reflect, actually can be a really helpful kind of basis to do.
Yeah.
Because you're either going to, flood, or the other option you'll do is you'll fight, or you'll run, and often in the fight you'll flood. And at that point, and particularly you see it when you're doing marriage counselling, and if they're both at that point, things are getting heated and one is flooding, actually there's no point in carrying on. It's better just to pause for a bit to allow that chemical imbalance to calm down.
And I've had to learn that, to be fair, and I'm still learning it, that in a marriage context, that I'm more of a person who wants to fix it right there and then. But I think there are times when you need to recognise that there needs to be a short while, at least, where there's some reflection and actually a more rational discussion can happen. I don't think that's unspiritual to recognise the physiology of it. I think it's part of applying spiritual principles to our real bodies. You have to reconcile that also with the text, do not let the sun go down on your anger, which I think is true in marriage, but I think it's true in other contexts, that you may need to step back for a moment, 5 minutes, to allow a calming to happen, but you shouldn't say, well, I need to think about this for a few weeks and I kind of allow it to fester. And I think daily is a good, is a generally good discipline. I remember a discussion once in our church where someone was saying, well, you might be so tired you can't deal with it. And of course, there are those exceptions. But I think generally speaking, in the day that you're experiencing the anger, you need to deal with it and be reconciled with whoever you got angry with. Even though you may need to take a pause. But
I agree. Yeah. And I think, you know, talking practically, you know, in terms of how do I deal when I get angry, I think anger is a window into my soul, in a sense of it's going to reveal things that I'm craving, I'm desiring, I'm struggling with, I'm revealing. So I think if someone is angry or feeling angry, I think you need to find someone you can talk with who's going to ask you good questions to try and work out, why is it you're so angry? Why are you wrestling with this? Why are you consistently getting angry with the children? Is it because actually their behavior is so bad, or is it because actually you're wrestling with control issues? Are you wrestling with whatever it may be that's actually under, it could be an identity issue. Actually, you're just frustrated because actually this is not where you want to be and you're taking it out on the kids. So I think it's worth just working that through in the James 4 kind of picture idea. And I think you then have to, in that sense of, put to death the sins that are bringing those things about, reputational control, or work through the suffering issues with someone who is a friend. And then there are some kind of the practical stuff that you can do when you feel yourself getting angry, recognizing that there's flooding, taking some space, count to 10, but making sure then you're then reconciling the relationship. And I think one of the big areas that often is that we don't leave room for God in anger. In other words, I want justice and I want it now and I want God to sort it all out. But actually, we've got to leave room for God to do his work. So A, he will make sure all injustices are righted at the end of the time. So Romans 12 talks about, you know, you keep treating them well. So I don't need to seek revenge. So I don't need to be angry in that sense. But I think sometimes as well, although I need to reconcile, it may be that actually I also need to allow God time to work in someone else's heart, to bring about conviction, or to bring about conviction in my own heart. To Lord, help me to see why. Help me to understand, why is it that I keep in this cycle of patterns? Why is it I'm constantly fretting or in control? You know, help me to see where I'm not trusting you, and actually allowing God to bring conviction in my own heart as I study God's word and bring that to bear in my own life. So I think that there's kind of issues as well that we need to be thinking about and working through.
Yeah, I mean, there is sometimes the need to just discipline ourselves. So there is the analysis times, but sometimes there are sinful habits we've got into of perhaps particularly in families, allowing anger to outburst to happen very easily. And so, of course, we've got to do the work on our own hearts as to why that's happening. But sometimes we've also got to do some discipline work to say, this is unloving, this is ungodly, I need to work on stopping this habit, trying to cure this habit, because this is much too easy for me. This is my reflex now. This is my go-to emotion when something frustrates me, and I need to learn to stop doing that. Ultimately, it will be a heart change. But while I'm working on the heart, I also may need, out of love for people, to work on my own outbursts, to just curb them. You know, and that's not suppressing, that's not a wrong thing, that's just loving people and kind of both redirecting, but also going to allow time to reflect and realise the impact of my words on people. Because we can, in those outbursts, sometimes speak truth that's not helpful. Sometimes we can speak truth that's out of proportion, which then damages and hurts other people. So it's worth thinking about that as well.
I'm going to finish this. Christopher Asher, BCUK conference, kind of gave a sixfold solution. And I think it was really helpful. He talks, firstly, what we've been talking about, anger reveals the desires of the heart, so I need new heart desires. In other words, I need to be filled up with Christ more and more, that gets rid of those old desires that are craving sinful, wrong things, and I start to desire and crave what Christ desires. That's going to be one way I'm going to tackle anger, because I'm not... What I'm craving now is what Jesus can give and not what you can give or someone else can give. He also talks about, in anger, in terms of a crowd, that actually anger sometimes is stirred up by a crowd, by friends and other things. Sometimes actually people I'm hanging out with are not helpful to me because actually they're just stirring up anger, frustration within me. So I need sometimes to get a new crowd. I need when I'm badly treated and I want to take revenge and it churns me, I need to find new peace. And that comes through looking to Christ, resting in God to deal with those issues, but knowing that actually Christ forgives me and he will do what is right to others. And actually we have a new power to subdue these emotions, that actually as one who is in Christ and hidden in Christ, I have the power to be able to say, I'm not going to get angry, I'm not going to respond in this way, I'm not going to react, and praying and asking for help in that. Sometimes I just need a new humbling. I need to be humbled before myself. I'm not as important as I think I am. And I'm not as righteous as I think I am. And so therefore I need to be humbled in that way. And the other one is he talks about a new purity, that actually my motives are often mixed. Is this actually I need Christ to keep purifying me. So actually my motives in my anger are much more reflecting Christ's than they are my own selfish desires. And so I think that that's the way in which the gospel begins to shape and tackle my anger issues. An anger problem. I highly recommend this. This is an area of struggle for you. The BCUK 2018 conference, four really helpful sessions by Christopher Ash on anger. That'd be well worth thinking through.
Yeah, you can listen online.
Listen online. David Pallison's book, Good Angry, Bad Angry, I think it's called. Really brilliant book on trying to work this through practically and helpfully.
Do you think anger management sort of courses and stuff like that are a good idea?
I think they're always just giving you technique rather than dealing with the heart. So there is some benefit in the sense of, as we talked about, the kind of the emotional flooding, those technique sides, there's benefit in that.
Yeah.
The problem with all those management classes, technique classes, that they don't actually start to deal with the heart issues, the James 4 kind of thing.
Yeah.
You're angry because you crave, you desire, and you do not ask God for the help you seek to free yourself. So You may get some good techniques that may just cause to help you not to have road rage or explode in those moments or deal with the inner. But unless you are dealing with the heart issues and the desires and changing those desires, you will still be fundamentally an angry person.
Helpful if it's driven by the right motive, that you're understanding actually the sort of diagnosis of why you're getting angry.
Yeah.
You're trying to work on the external expression of it. That may be a helpful thing. So we wouldn't discount it entirely.
It's similar to like CBT or something with anxiety, isn't it?
Yeah.
How that can give you good strategies in the moment, but ultimately you want to be doing the work of the heart.
And we're not discounting it. The world has done a lot of work on how to do those kind of things, the secular world in terms of thinking, and they can be really helpful. The problem is they're often more like a plaster on the wound. They're not actually tackling the wound. They're just kind of sticking over it rather than actually helping you really tackle. So there can be lots of benefit and can be really, really a help to people. But unless you're fundamentally dealing with the heart issues and ultimately your relationship with Christ in that, because we are made in the image of God, we're covenant people, you will never really unpick it, tackle it, drive it out, because the fundamental issue is still within you that's driving it.
Any final thoughts, Graham?
No, I'm just sitting here seething, that's all. It's a weird thing, isn't it? It's like a lot of sin in a way that we kind of joke about and we understand it because it's sort of a way of coping it. So, I think my final thoughts are, I think it's been a useful discussion because I think it is a thing for all of us. And in a way, we make it complicated, but we've tried to simplify it as well. So it is complex in the sort of matrix of things that are driving it. It's simple in a way that the answer is the gospel and like a number of things we're going to talk about, I think, in the next few weeks. It's all about aligning our hearts, being confident in Christ. And so actually that insecurity and that desire to succeed goes away and that helps us with our anger.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is a big issue and can be really damaging to to one's own life and to your relationships. So, you know, this isn't something, oh, well, we're angry, it's okay, hey, we're just human. No, no, this is a serious issue.
Yeah.
And it is fundamentally a sin, often, how I respond. And so, therefore, I do need to tackle it. So I would encourage people to seek help. I mean, we've really only just touched on this. This is a hugely complex area. And we've tried to, as Graham just said, you know, simplify it down, just trying to give some helpful steers to get people thinking about this issue. But I would encourage folks to talk to their pastors. Email us in at ordinary@cchh.org.uk.
Nailed it.
Thank you. I've been practicing. And, you know, we're happy. Or you can email us directly if you want to talk. You just change it for either Mark V or Graham at cchh.org.uk if you want to talk to us in the pastoral role. You can talk to Josh as well. But
I wouldn't.
but hey.
He's got over his anger now, so he'll be good to talk to.
And we love Tesco Delivery, guys. Yeah. Thank you.
Tesco men everywhere who are listening, you do a great job. You deliver to us very well.
Yeah, we love it. Thank you very much.
And normally park on the pavement.
Such fun. If you want to get in touch, you heard the email address from Mark just a minute ago. Do get in touch if you have questions about this topic or any of the topics we've been discussing on Ordinary. We also love to hear your suggestions for future podcasts, so do email in. Come back for another new podcast next week.